and 339. One thing that we can do every day, no matter what we're going through, is to count our blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, it's so good to know.
Oh, take a look at my new car outside.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that. First, second, and fourth, people.
I call it midnight.
Yeah. When upon life's billows you a tempest toss, do not be discouraged, your all is lost. Count your many blessings, really done by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings and your doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Everybody, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. On the last, all events of conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Oh boy, so good to reflect upon all that God has done in our daily lives. It causes us to be grateful. Amen. It seriously does. When we realize, we stop and think about how blessed we are. My pastor in New York, when we were in Bible college in the 90s, used to say, if you're saved, your biggest problem in life is already solved. Amen? Isn't that true? The biggest blessing of all is salvation, because it's forever. Oh, glory to God. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles this morning, and we'll get right to our sermon. In the book of 1 John. 1 John this morning. And we can all settle in for the message this morning. In 1 John chapter 5, I seriously love the epistles of the beloved apostle John. John was called the beloved. He was so full of the love of Christ that it just flows off the page. You really feel this man's heart. And I love how it says in the gospel that John at the dinner table leaned against Jesus' bosom. Amen. You know what he heard? The heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God. Amen. What a beautiful sound that must have been. John wanted to be as close to Jesus as he could humanly be. I love that. And he was part of that inner circle of James and Peter and John. They had special revelation because they were so close to the Lord. The closer you are to the Lord, the more he will reveal to you. Amen? That's why it's so important to be close to him. In 1 John chapter 5, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. And I want to call your attention in 1 John chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1. 1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world?
But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Beloved, I want to speak to you a message I've entitled, Overcoming the World. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. How we thank you that we are overcomers because of him. Lord, we thank you that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to overcome, but that the King of Kings has already conquered this evil world. I'm so thankful this morning for the victory that is ours, even by faith. Lord, we ask you to bless your word to our hearts, Holy Spirit. We ask you to instruct us out of thy law and show us great and marvelous things this morning, that we may take these truths, applying them to our Christian lives, and living them daily in practical terms, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. We ask you to bless your word and anoint it to us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please be seated, beloved. Our text here this morning makes it absolutely clear that every single descendant of Adam and Eve stands in need of overcoming the world. But what does it mean for someone to overcome the world? Does it mean that for someone to overcome the world, that they're to overcome this physical planet called Earth, somehow conquer it? No. But listen to me. If we do not contend to overcome the world, it will overcome us. As a child of God, you need to be actively engaged in overcoming. Now, John here is speaking about this present evil world system, which is under the current diabolical control and power of the god of this world, the devil. Listen, the power and principle of sin is operating all around us all the time. And man, by nature, is enslaved to this evil principle, this evil system called the world. But God, our creator, listen, he has made it possible for all men, women, and boys and girls everywhere to be successful in overcoming the world. You can overcome the world. The Bible tells us how, and I want to call up to your attention this morning on how we're overcoming the world. First, notice, first of all, I'm going to use verse 4 for my text, because as I read verse 4, there are a number of things that just jump off the page to me. I want to call your attention to them. First, notice what it is that must be overcome. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what?
World.
The world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world." First of all, the Holy Spirit, through John's pen, points out what we must overcome. And that is the evil world in which we live. Beloved, listen carefully. Here, brethren, God's Holy Spirit makes it absolutely clear that this world in which we live is evil and dark and must be overcome by every human being who would desire to spend eternity with their Maker. In Revelation chapter 21, don't turn there, verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You see that verse? 21:7, Revelation says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." So you need to be an overcomer to make heaven your home. Amen? Why? Why would John record these words, "Overcometh the world"? Look how many times we see this statement, "Overcometh the world, overcometh the world." Verse 5, "Overcometh the world." Over and over, he repeats it. Listen carefully. To overcome is to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory over. That's what overcoming means. Now, we don't physically conquer the world. That's what Napoleon, did at the time. The Romans did that. We don't want to conquer this world physically, but we want to overcome spiritually. 1 John chapter 2, look at it. Flip back a page. 1 John chapter 2. Why do we need to overcome the world? Here's a reason why. Look at verse 15. Yes, it is. Look at verse 15. "Love not the what?
World.
Neither the things." By the way, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to you, child of God. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's why lost people love the things of this world. The love of God is not in them yet, unless they get saved. "For all that is in the world," that little word, all, wow. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. According to verse 17, there's two types of people. There's people who are overcome by the world and enslaved to it. And then there are people who overcome the world and do God's will. Did you see that? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. Speaking, hold your place in 1 John. I'm coming back. In Ephesians chapter 2, another statement concerning this evil world. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you, child of God, hath he quickened, that's made alive spiritually, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this what?
World.
He said you used to live for the world and the things of it, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. And we used to listen to that old split foot. The spirit, he's a spirit, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, amongst whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, notice that, by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others. See, by nature, man is enslaved to the things of this world. You know what it takes to overcome the world? It takes a supernatural miracle of God called regeneration. New birth. Without the Spirit of God, listen to me, child of God, you cannot overcome this world. Without the power of God's Spirit. Now back to 1 John chapter 5. He says, we used to walk according to this world. To overcome, we must break loose from the world's customs and practices. To overcome, we must learn to obey the voice of our new master. To overcome, we must find our peace and joy in things which are not seen. To overcome, we must flee from the world's evil influence and example. To overcome, we must flee from the world's religion and learn from God and from his word. Amen? Galatians 1:4, don't turn there. He says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Jesus came to deliver the captive from this evil world. I'm so glad he did it. Amen? I'm so glad that that victory over the world is available to all people if they only will enter in to Jesus' salvation. J.D. Hull says, and I quote, it is asserted of this elegant creature, the bird of paradise, that it always flies against the wind, as otherwise its beautiful but delicate plumage would be ruffled and spoiled. Listen, and likewise, those only are birds of paradise in a spiritual sense who make it their daily practice to soar and fly against the winds of worldliness, because that is a wind that always blows against the winds of heaven. Got to go against the stream of the world, the broad road that leads to destruction. We're going against the course of this world. Amen? That's why they can't figure you out. Number one, what must be overcome? The world. But secondly, this morning, something else from our text in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Notice who they are that overcome the world. Look at this in 1 John 5, verse number 4. Who are they that overcome the world? Verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God, what's the next word? Overcometh the world. Look at here, folks. Verse 4 tells us the secret to overcoming the world. You've got to be born of God. You need a new birth. You need a spiritual birth. You need to be born spiritually into God's family. You'll be an overcomer when you do. Amen? It is so important. Religion can't do this for you. The psychiatrist can't do this for you. You can have the best doctors, the best medicines, the best hospitals, the best university, the best professor. They cannot overcome the world for you. You need to be born of God. Listen carefully, church. The scripture is absolutely dogmatic in this area of who they are that overcome the world. It's all those who've been born again. Did you hear what I said? As long as I'm pastor of this church, I'm going to preach, you must be born again. Somebody said, pastor, why do you always preach, you must be born again? I said, because you must be born again. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Glory to God. You know, everybody in the world can quote John 3:16. Lost people know John 3:16. But in the same paragraph,
Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. They don't like that verse. They love John 3:16. God is love. He so loved the world. But they don't like the part where Jesus said, you got to be born again, buddy, if you want to make heaven your home. I will preach that till my dying day, because it's true. Only those who've been born spiritually have the potential to overcome this evil world. Now, listen carefully. One may join all the self-help groups that the world has to offer. It's not going to make a difference. That person, it's not going to make them an overcomer. And you can turn over all the new leaves you want. You can make all the vows you like. It's not going to help you until you're born again. The Bible says that apart from a supernatural transformation, a spiritual regeneration, a divine birthing, where a lost, hell-bound sinner receives Jesus Christ as Savior and becomes a child of the living God by being born again, you cannot overcome the world. Why do people have so many problems? Why are people committing suicide? Why are they addicted to heroin and alcohol and all kinds of drugs and all kinds of pornography and wickedness? Because they're not born again. They don't have the Spirit of God to overcome those things, folks. It takes power to overcome sin, and that power must come from God. Listen now, only this new nature, listen to the statement I'm about to make, only this new divine nature will undertake to contend with the world. Hear what I said? You go the way of the world until you get saved. You fit right in with those guys going to bar room, going to doing this and that and the other thing, living it up, partying. But when you develop, when you receive a new nature from God, you begin to contest with this world. Only this new nature, listen, will stay the course, faithfully contending against the world. Only this new nature possesses the anointing power of God's Spirit to overcome it. Amen? Glory to God. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath what?
Life.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Those who have not the Son of God within have not life. That's spiritual life. They cannot. Listen, folks. You know, some people say, Pastor, why do those people act that way? Why do they do what they do? They're not saved. They can't do anything else. They don't know God. Look at verse 18. We know that whosoever is what? Born of God, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. John makes a distinction between people who are born of God and people who are not. He says people who are born of God keep themselves from practicing sin. Okay, it didn't say you didn't sin. You don't sin. It's saying you don't practice. Right, you don't live in the mud like a pig naturally wallows, right? Look what he says. And that wicked one, who's that? The devil. That's the devil. You know, the devil, listen, folks, I'm going to shock you this morning. The devil has control over lost people because they don't have God as their father. Jesus said, the devil is your father. And all there were religious people he was talking to, John chapter 8. They didn't like that. Look at chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 27. Who are they that overcome the world? Verse 27 tells us, but the anointing, which that's the Holy Spirit, which ye have received of him, abideth where?
In you.
He's not in the world. He's not in the lost, but he's in you, child of God. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in his truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what?
Born
of him. The people that are doing right in God's eyes are born of God. You see that? The world can't do right because they're not born of him. They don't know to do right. Chapter 3, look at verse 8. He that committeth sin, that's practicing sin, is of the devil. That's pretty clear. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He does not remain in a state of sin. For his seed, that's the seed of God, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. There's something in you that directs you in another way. That's the Spirit of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, here he shows the difference between those who are born of God and overcoming, and those who are not born of God and belong to the devil. Chapter 4. Look at this. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. I love that. I belong to God. And have, what's the next word?
Overcome.
Overcome them. And he's speaking about the antichrists of verse 1. I'm sorry, of verse 3. And because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You getting the picture? They are of the, look at this, verse 5. They are of the world. That means they belong to the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know what happens when you know God? You're born of God. His love. His love comes into you and it's shed abroad to people by his Holy Spirit that is in you. Glory to God. I love that fact that I'm born of God. I'm an overcomer because his love is in me. Years ago, statesman Bernard Baruch was appearing as a witness before the Senate Finance Committee. He was asked to suggest what Congress could do to prevent periodic ups and downs in the nation's economy due to corruption in handling of funds. There's a lot of corruption in Washington. Baruch said, yes, there's one thing you could do to avoid all this corruption. Pass a law changing human nature and make it retroactive to the Garden of Eden. He was right. Baruch understood that only a transformation of the sin nature of man can make a difference in one's life. You need to be born of God in order to overcome, beloved. We've seen what must be overcome, the world. We've seen who they are that overcome it, those who are born of God. But something else in chapter 5 and verse 4 I want you to see. Notice the weapon of the overcomer. Look at verse number 4 again. He's the weapon of the overcomer. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Did you see it? The one weapon that you have, child of God, to overcome this world is your F-A-I-T-H, faith. Oh, I am so glad. Beloved, we've just discovered the key word of our text. Faith is the victory. We sing that song that overcomes the world. Here is the missing ingredient in all those who live a defeated life. All those who live according to the dictates and MOs of the world. They lack faith. And I'm talking about saving faith, not temporal faith, like the guy that got hit by the car. He's on his back in the hospital and says, oh God, if you let me live, I'll serve you the rest of my life. God heals the guy up and he never does anything for God. He didn't mean it. It was a temporal faith. Now faith, saving faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's look at how the Holy Spirit connects the Bible to saving faith. You have to have faith that is developed by what God says. Amen? Now, faith is the weapon whereby the true believer actively, daily, consistently overcomes the world in all its evil allurements. Look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth, there's faith, and he's talking about saving faith here, not temporal. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Verse 1. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's why we have a love for each other. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that what? Believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made God a liar, and because he believeth not the record that God hath given of his Son. They lack faith. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on this name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We understand that, and we believe it. Glory to God. Turn over a couple pages. You'll be in Jude. Jude. Go to the chapter of your choice, but go to verse 1. Jude, verse 1. The servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. They're born of God. Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the what?
Faith.
The faith that which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen, Jesus made a sacred deposit to his church 2,000 years ago, and that was the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we need to contend for that faith because it's the only thing that will get folks saved. Saving faith. Look at verse 20. Jude verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy works. Is that what it says? Wrong version. Wrong version. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Thank you, Bill. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, looking through the glass of faith. Amen. Why? Faith is the weapon of the overcomer. By faith, we see the reward which awaits us. By faith, we see the angelic hedge which protects us. By faith, we see our mystical union to the Son of God. By faith, we experience the sanctifying presence of his Spirit. By faith, beloved, you possess the most precious weapon in the universe, faith in Jesus Christ's finished work. A weary traveler was once asked whether or not he admired the magnificent structure of some stately building. Oh, no, not at all, he said, for I have been to Paris, where better are to be seen every day than these. And so, too, for the true believer, when the world tempts thee with its rare sights and curious prospects, you may boldly scorn them, too, having been by contemplation in heaven itself, and being able by faith to see infinitely greater delights every hour of the day. By faith, we see things not seen. Amen? By faith, we look at those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. It's the weapon of the overcomer, even our faith. But something else I want you to see this morning, and that is this. Back in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, notice the success of the overcomer. The success of the overcomer. 1 John 5, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, victory. Notice the word in verse 4. Victory is the promised success of the overcomer. There's only one true victory, beloved, in God's eyes. And that is the victory that has already been procured by his precious Son. Go to John chapter 16. Notice, this victory is the victory of someone else for you. Don't miss this. John chapter 16. Watch what Jesus says concerning this world and concerning his disciples. In John 16. Oh, this is powerful stuff. Don't miss this. In John 16, look with me at verse number 32. Jesus says, behold, the hour is come, and now is, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. They did. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus says, I've got good news, boys.
Don't get discouraged. I have already overcome your enemy, the world. I have completely triumphed over it. And he hadn't gone to the cross yet. I love it. He has defeated this world and conquered it for you, child of God. You've got to grab hold of this in closing. Follow me carefully. If Jesus Christ overcame the world, that means that you and I overcome the world because we are in him. Amen? Three ways I see that Jesus Christ overcame this world for you and me. First, he was victorious over the God of this world. If you're still in John, the Gospel of John, go back to chapter 12. First of all, he was victorious in overcoming the God of this world. In chapter 12, look with me at verse 31. Jesus says in verse 29, this is an evil generation. This is an evil world, folks. They seek a sign. I'm sorry. Chapter 12. Thank you, Marion. Chapter 12 and verse 31. There we go. Verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Oh, you know why? Luke's gospel is not spelt the same as John's. John chapter 12. We'll get there, preacher. John chapter 12 and verse 31. Not once, but twice. Verse 31. Jesus says, now is the judgment of this what?
World.
Now shall the what?
Prince
of this world, small p, is who? That's the devil. Jesus says, now I am conquering the prince of this world. He's going to be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, Calvinists, unto me. Glory to God. I love the fact that Jesus Christ has overcome the devil, verse 31, for me. I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. Jesus did it for us. Secondly, another way Jesus Christ overcame this world. He was victorious over sin. Go back to chapter 1 of John's gospel. Notice we're all in John this morning. John's epistles and John's gospel. In John chapter 1, notice that Jesus Christ overcame our sin. Look at verse 29. The next day, John, that's Baptist, not John the Apostle, seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh, what?
Away
the sin of the world. Beloved, listen carefully. Jesus Christ didn't just roll the sins over for another year like the Old Testament priest did every year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ took them away, not to be brought up ever again. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ was victorious over sin because he got up on that third day. Do you realize, beloved, that nobody else in the universe could have overcome your sin except this God-man? Named Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could have done it. Thirdly, how was he victorious over the world? He was victorious over the devil. He was victorious over sin. Thirdly, he was victorious over the grave. Look in Luke. Flip back one page. You'll be there. Luke 24. He was victorious over death and the grave. Look at verse 45. Luke 24, 45. Then opened he, Jesus, their understanding, that they, his disciples, might understand the scriptures. This is what happens when you get born again. Jesus opens by his spirit your understanding to the word of God. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the dead on the third day. Beloved, in Luke 24, verse 46, Jesus is already risen from the dead. The resurrection has already taken place. And he says, I've got good news, boys. I rose from the dead the third day, as it is written. He said, I fulfilled that prophecy. Now, this is the success of the overcomer. We have victory over the devil. We have victory over sin. And we have victory over the grave. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the, what? Victory. Glory to God, we have victory.
because of this victorious Son of God. I'm so glad he did it. He overcame for you and I. Eldon Weisheit once said, and I quote, if you've ever seen a Navy ship, you may have, I was in the Navy, and Kyle was in the Navy. Yeah, go Navy, beat Army. You may have noticed the flag or banner flying at the stern of the ship. That's called an ensign. Amen? It identifies the ship as to what nation it sails under. Isaiah 5:26 says, lift up an ensign to the peoples. Beloved, we must lift up the flag of the cross over our lives and declare total victory because Jesus Christ has made us overcomers. Glory to God. What must be overcome? The world. Who are they that overcome it? Those who are born of God. What is the weapon of our overcomers? Faith. And what is the success of the overcomer? Promise victory. Victory. Victory in Jesus. Glory to God. In closing, let me give you this. When the great composer, George Frederick Handel, of Handel's Messiah fame, lost his health. Listen, he died penniless, you know. Handel, his right side became completely paralyzed. He had a stroke. His money was all gone. His creditors seized all his property and threatened to imprison him. Handel retreated into obscurity and began to despair, but his faith prevailed as he thought about how the Savior suffered and bled and died. It was then that he composed his greatest work, had a Hallelujah Chorus, which is part of Handel's Messiah. Beloved, this is overcoming the world. Amen. Overcoming the world. And I say unto you, Handel's hymn, the Hallelujah Chorus, is the greatest song ever written in the history of the world. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning. Lord, how we thank you that we are overcomers through the new birth, being born of God through the weapon of faith, overcoming the devil, overcoming sin, overcoming the world, the flesh, and the grave, because Jesus Christ already overcame all these for me. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for overcoming for us. Oh, such wondrous love. And Lord, like Handel penned those incredible words so many centuries ago, Hallelujah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords shall reign forever and ever, Lord God Omnipotent. We love you this morning and we thank you for making us overcomers. We couldn't do it. We had no hope, but Jesus came along one day. And Jesus lived the perfect life that we could not live. And Jesus died the death we could not die. Jesus paid the price we could not pay. And Jesus rose from the dead, which we could not do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for overcoming for us. In Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn this morning and a time of invitation. Let me ask you a question before we sing. Are you an overcomer? Have you been born again? Born of God. If you haven't been born again, you cannot begin to overcome. The first step to overcoming, beloved, is becoming born again. Being born of the Spirit of God. What about you? With every head bowed and every eye closed, glory to God, I just want to ask, with no one looking around except the Lord, are you born again? Have you been born of God's Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed. Here's what I want to do. In case someone here this morning is not saved, I see that hand. Put it down. Thank you. In case somebody here this morning has never been born again, it's as simple as praying this prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer and I want everyone, if you're already saved, it's okay, it's not going to hurt you. Everyone repeat these words after me. You repeat these words after me and mean it in your heart and you will be born again right here and now. I guarantee the Bible says so. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, say it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. That you came 2,000 years ago. That you lived a perfect life. That you went to the cross. That you were crucified. You shed your blood.
shed your blood. For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe they buried you.
I believe they buried you.
I believe you rose from the dead.
I believe you rose from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
So right now, Lord Jesus.
So right now, Lord Jesus.
I ask you to become my Savior.
To become my Savior.
To give me your Holy Spirit.
To give me your Holy Spirit.
To wash me in your precious blood.
To wash me in your precious blood.
To take away my sins.
To take away my sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For saving me.
For saving me.
Help me now.
Help me now.
To live for you. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, and stand. Glory to God. And if you prayed that prayer this morning and you've been born again, I want you to tell somebody when we sing this song. 123. Let's, got the wrong song. Sorry, beloved. Let's go to hymn number 10. Hymn number 10. Oh, glory to God. We're leaning on those wonderful, everlasting arms. Amen. No greater place to be. Hymn number 10, let's stand. And sing it to the Lord, all three. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. I'm leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Everybody,
leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arm.
On the third,
what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Everybody,
leaning, leaning. Safe and secure from all alarm. We're leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. What a great service this morning. Yes, Marion.
I want people to pray for my co-worker.
Mm.
This guy came.